Who is the current Speaker of the House?
Don't even know.
Will they rule in the president's favor or will they send it to the Supreme Court?
You can't refer to a senator directly by their name.
Congressional redistricting.
Separation of power.
Executive order.
The National Security Council.
Civics 101.
I'm Virginia Prescott, and this is Civics 101. It's the podcast refresher course on some of the basics that you may have forgotten or even slept through in school. Today's lesson is about one of the most stigmatized and often misunderstood professions on the Hill, lobbying. In 2016, interest groups spent more than $3 billion lobbying federal agencies and lawmakers. Where does that money come from and where does it go? And is lobbying as shady as people think? Our guide for today is a former Senate staffer and lobbyist, former lobbyist, that is, Jimmy Williams. He now hosts the podcast Decode DC. And Jimmy, you ready to dish the dirt?
Let's rock and roll. Thank you.
So you were a lobbyist for many years. Which interest groups did you represent?
Well, I'm trying to think of which ones I didn't. I represented NASCAR. I represented big banks. I represented the National Association of Realtors, wine and spirits distributors. I think I might be missing somebody. But
I don't know. You're covering booze, NASCAR.
Listen, all the essential American things that you could possibly need in your life, right? I mean, that's all you need.
Well, give us a sentence. What is lobbying?
The first definition is sort of a legal definition, and that is a lobbyist is basically anyone who spends at least 20% of their time influencing the federal government, and that includes both the legislative and the executive branches. Why 20%? Well, that's because Congress has deemed 20% to be the number or the threshold that you have to meet in order to register as a lobbyist. Now, what's the real answer? Anyone can be a lobbyist. And the reason that is so is because in the First Amendment, it is terrifyingly clear you have the right to redress your government for your grievances. It is etched in stone. There it is. And that could be you calling your congressman up and saying, hey, where's my Social Security check? Or I don't like your votes. Or going to a town hall. That, in essence, is also lobbying. You're just not meeting that 20% threshold.
All right, let's explore this a little. I mean, because there's a vast difference in scale in someone showing up to a town meeting and somebody whining and dining, which is my impression of a lobbyist. You know, lots of expensive dinners and breakfasts, gifts, Jack Abramoff, you know, sort of double-breasted suits. So yeah. Tell me about a typical day for a lobbyist.
Can we just go back in time and I can tell you what my typical day would have been like.
Sure thing.
Wake up in the morning, use the bathroom, take a shower, maybe work
okay,
out.
Okay, a little less detail.
Okay, all right, so less details. You go to your office and you probably, before you go to your office, you probably go to a breakfast fundraiser. You have a check, either you're on your trade associations or a client's check. And you drop that check off with the fundraiser. You have bad eggs and bad bacon and stale coffee, and you talk about policy. Then you leave and you go to your office and you use your time contacting Hill staffers or administration staffers. And then you probably go to a hearing on the House or the Senate side. The same people, by the way, the staffers that you just talked to, and the same members that you just had breakfast with. Then you break for lunch and you go to another fundraiser and you have another check. And that could be for a different member of Congress or a different senator. You do exactly the same thing. You hand that check over and you talk about policy. And then you leave. You don't get to take a nap. You go back to your office or you take clients up to the Hill and you let them meet with members of Congress and senators that you have already prearranged those meetings. Then you go to another cocktail party for another member of Congress with another check from another client. And you talk about, once again, policy. Yes.
Okay, so that's right. A lot of checks. That's a lot of checks being turned over. How is lobbying not bribery?
It is bribery. It's legalized bribery.
What's the distinction here? What crosses the line, maybe, is the question.
So, if you say to a member of Congress, I'm going to give you this check, and you're going to drop a bill or introduce a bill for me, a piece of legislation, and they say yes, that is illegal under the law. If you give a member of Congress a check and you say, this is what I care about or my client cares about, we'd love for you to drop a bill, and they don't say yes or no, but then they drop a bill, That's legal bribery.
So there's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge factor here.
Yes, but there has to be an implicit quid pro quo in order for it to be illegal.
So this is just unspoken. I mean, it's sort of like going to, a pickup bar. Everybody knows what's happening, but nobody says it out loud.
Well, Virginia, I'm not sure how to answer that. I've never been to that. That's not true. I have been to bars. Look, I mean, everybody's there for a reason. There's gambling happening in the casino, for a good metaphor. But the bottom line is that it's all legal.
Okay. What are the other rules sort of governing lobbying?
Well, most of the rules actually fall within the lobbyist camp. And so you have to register as a lobbyist with the clerk of the House of Representatives and with the Secretary of the Senate. You have to file semi-annual reports with them saying who you've lobbied, what issues you've lobbied on, who your clients are, how much money they're paying you to lobby on their behalf, and what specific pieces of legislation that you are working on. All of that is a matter of public record. You can go and try to find that just by simply going on to the House and the Senate websites. What isn't reported is when you fall under that 20% threshold that we mentioned earlier. And that's where there is a big, huge gray area or how do I want to say this the right way? There are a lot of people that are onto the 20% threshold. So in essence, organizing or preparing a fundraiser or getting ready for constituents or clients to come into town, that is not considered lobbying. But if you call and ask for a meeting, that is technically considered a part of the 20%. So what do you do if you're a former member of Congress or a former senior staffer? You just don't do all the dirty work, i.e. all that stuff I just talked about. Instead, you just keep all the real stuff under 20%. And that's why there's a sort of shadow group of lobbyists out there that no one talks about. Because if you're not doing the 20%, well, guess what? You don't have to register with the federal government.
Today, lobbying is very much tied to money. Is it always been so? What do we know about the history of the lobbyist?
Well, lobbyists have been around for a really long time. The term lobbying comes from a bunch of old, white, stuffy men that used to sit in the lobby of hotels in Washington, D.C., waiting for members of Congress who were in those staying in those hotels. But back then, the members of Congress did not live in Washington, D.C., and so they would wait for them to come down, and they would lobby them by the lapels, and this is what my client wants. And yes, the money was there still then as well, but the bottom line is money has always been a part of lobbying because, again, you can give money to a member of Congress and a senator. It's the question is how much can you give them and whether or not the Supreme Court thinks it's constitutional.
Okay, so you are at one of these fundraisers, breakfast, dinner, lunch, whatever. You're talking with somebody. What are those kind of conversations like?
For a member of Congress or a senator, you go to the breakfast and you sit down and you have your coffee and the bad eggs and the bad bacon and it's fine. And the member says, okay, could everyone just go around the table and say who you are and who you represent? I'd say, hey, my name is Jimmy Williams. Thank you, Congressman. I appreciate you being here. I represent the National Association of Realtors, and they care about mortgage interest deduction. And he'd be like, I'm with you on that. Awesome. And then the member of Congress sort of says, so here's what's going on in Congress. Does anyone have any questions? And people ask questions. Lobbyists do ask questions of those members. You got to pay to walk in the door. Then you get a chance to speak up and be heard. And so that's kind of how a fundraiser works around food and booze.
Did you ever feel, Jimmy, like you were promoting interests that you couldn't really get behind?
Well, I would never do that. When I worked for a lobbying firm, the NRA was a client of the firm. I would not work on the NRA because I just fundamentally, as a human being, disagree with what the NRA purports to advocate on behalf of, which is gun owners, of which I am one, but I just don't like their tactics. Here's the deal. Even the NRA, even gun owners and gun manufacturers and even tobacco companies have the right to redress their government, and they have the right to hire lobbyists and have their voices heard. I just chose not to work on those issues.
Could you become an elected, or could one rather become an elected member of the national government, in the House or the Senate, without having taken money from lobbyists?
No.
So everybody's got the taint of lobbyists on them.
Sure they do. Senator Bernie Sanders decried lobbyists, and Elizabeth Warren decries lobbyists. And if you check their campaign donation rosters with the Federal Election Commission, I guarantee you they take tons and tons of money from lobbyists. Now, that may be big labor. That may be environmental groups. That may be, children's advocates group, affordable housing, things like that. But by and large, every single member of the House and the Senate, they take campaign donations from the people and from lobbyists. Just determining whether you like those lobbyists or not, that's a matter of discretion.
How much money do lobbyists make?
Well, if you're lobbying for a trade association, you're going to make less. If you're lobbying for a law firm or a lobbying firm, you're going to make more. Most staffers, when they leave the Hill, and that makes up a supermajority of people that become lobbyists, when they leave the Hill, they're going to make anywhere from, $150,000 up. It is not unheard of for a senior Hill staffer to leave Capitol Hill and make $500,000 a year. That's a big improvement over being the highest paid person on Capitol Hill as a staffer would be a chief of staff. And I think they can make just over $150,000 a year.
Jimmy, what's a real world example of when you were successful or maybe not so successful as a lobbyist?
So when I was started as a staffer and then tell you?
Sure.
So when I was a staffer, I worked on steel issues. Steel is that's what cars and planes and trains and automobiles are made of, right? And refrigerators, for that matter. And then when I got out of the Congress as a staffer and became a lobbyist, I had a client that came to me and said, "Look, we're a domestic steel maker, and there's a problem here. We're being flooded in this country with Russian and Chinese and Brazilian steel that is undercutting us." And so, having gained that knowledge about trade laws, what is the Section 201 versus a 301? And your listeners are going to go, "What's he saying?" Well, that's all part of the trade law. And having known that and learned that as a staffer, I was able to then say to my client, "Hey, here's the best thing that you should do. You should not go down this path. Instead, you should go to these members and ask them to help you because they are the key players in this legislation and in this area."
I don't think a lot of kids grow up thinking, "Mommy, Daddy, I really want to be a lobbyist when I grow up."
You're right. They don't. They don't. Yeah.
How does one become a lobbyist? What makes a good lobbyist?
If you want to become a lobbyist, you got to go work on Capitol Hill, man. You got to learn the ropes. You got to learn what an amendment is, and you got to learn how to get a bill passed, and you got to learn how to compromise. There are plenty of people that sit around watching C-SPAN all day long. That's fine. But until you actually go up to Capitol Hill and deal with these members on a day-in and day-out basis and learn the ropes, then that's what it takes to become a good staffer and a good lobbyist.
Oh, Jimmy, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, anytime.
Jimmy Williams, former Senate staffer, former lobbyist, and current host of Decode DC. Well, that's it for today. This episode was produced by Maureen McMurray and edited by Taylor Quimby. If you like this podcast and think others could benefit from learning about the fundamentals of our democracy, you can become a lobbyist for Civics 101 by leaving a review. We're not going to pay you $500,000 a year, but hope you agree that knowledge is worth fighting for. Music in this episode came from Broke for Free. I'm Virginia Prescott, and Civics 101 is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. Until next time, class dismissed.